Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome, everybody, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. Joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Chris Woodward.
Hello.
And from, I'm guessing, from Kansas City, Dr., what is this, Ray Pritchard?
Never heard of him. Don't know who he is.
Dr. Ray, good morning.
How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing well. How did the, now you've been out from, at least from being on this show.
Seems like I've been gone for months, Ed. I've been out and about, as you say, doing my Bible conference thingy, but the last couple of weeks I have been at Bible institutes in Florida and New York teaching the book of Galatians to a wonderful hundreds of college-age students and had amazing time.
So just give us just a, you know, whatever, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, because, I forget that there are young people going to Bible college and doing Bible institutes. We're all the time probably being overly critical of young people, and yet there are many people, young people, who love Jesus.
You know, in these last 2 weeks, I've had a chance to teach hundreds of young people between Florida and New York. Let me just say, Ed, for all the bad news, God is alive. Jesus is alive and well. The Bible is true. And the Lord is raising up a new generation of young people who are eager to learn the Word of God and eager to share the good news with the world that needs to hear it. So I can't think of anything better for me to do with my time than help equip those young people.
Amen.
With the Word of God in their hands.
Amen. That's great. That's awesome.
That's great.
And that's good news. And that's hopeful news because on this show, we oftentimes deal with the very troubling things that are happening, some things that make us angry, some things that are discouraging, and we need to remember, as you just said, Ray, Jesus is on the throne, and he doesn't care one bit about the strategies and tactics of fallen men, even if they are outwardly resisting Jesus. Psalm 2 says, God sits on his throne and laughs derisively. God doesn't think it's funny. He just does not respect these people who think the world revolves around them, because
well,
it doesn't.
It's good news, isn't it? It's good news that the good news is still good news. And the young people of America, a great many of them, here and there, we're just seeing unusual things happen, college campuses and universities, and this big baptismal service down at Auburn University.
Yes.
I mean, there's stuff going on, Ed. there is stuff going on, and we should never give in to despair. Sometimes we do get discouraged, but there's no room for despair because Jesus is Lord. God is still on the throne. The plan is working exactly as God always intended.
Fred?
I'm interested to learn that there's a Bible school in New York. That's a mission field in itself, isn't it?
Well, it is. And you know what they say, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And I think it's wonderful to go to a place like upstate New York. I'm not in Manhattan. I'm in upstate New York, north of Albany. But those young people, not just ready, but they were eager to learn the Word of God. So it's wonderful to see what God is doing around the world today.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's a great way to start a show, Ray. Thank you for
Amen.
That. So,
Amen.
All right, Chris, bring us down, brother.
That's what I do.
Bring us down.
I am Captain Doom and Gloom at AFA.net. All the networks right now are talking about President Biden being at the UN. President Biden is delivering remarks, talking about a lot of stuff. All the networks have different angles on it. But to give our listeners and supporters a taste of what he's talking about, one of the things he spent several minutes discussing today and urging support on is for Ukraine. Russia still there fighting in Ukraine, invading Ukraine to try to seize control of the country. And so I've got some audio here of Biden talking to the UN and urging everybody to stand up and show support for Ukraine. And then I'll mention a few other stuff he's talked about. Clip 11.
If we abandon the core principles of the United States to appease an aggressor, can any member state in this body feel confident that they are protected? If you allow Ukraine to be carved up, is the independence of any nation secure? I'd respectfully suggest the answer is no. We have to stand up to this naked aggression today and deter other would-be aggressors tomorrow. That's why the United States, together with our allies and partners around the world, will continue to stand with the brave people of Ukraine as they defend their sovereignty and territorial integrity and their freedom.
Other topics he's discussed today, he wants the international organization to show support for the LGBTQIA plus community amid all the attacks there. That's his words, not mine. And he wants all the people that flew there on giant emitters to do something about climate change and emissions.
All right, Fred, go ahead. Chomp it at the bit.
Yeah, I am, because the hypocrisy meter in my mind just pegged to the right when he talked about Ukraine and how we have to all get together as a global community and fight this aggression from the Russians. We need to remind people that the Joe Biden administration just gave Iran $6 billion.
Right.
And despite what the White House is saying, it's only going to be used for humanitarian terms. No, Iran can take that $6 billion that they don't have to spend now on humanitarian issues and turn it into their weapons. Iran is supplying drones to Russia to drop bombs on the Ukrainian people. The Biden administration just made that easier to do. So, and let's, you know, we had a discussion about, you know, this long, it's long running now, Russia, Ukraine, I'm talking about the conflict. The reason it's gone on so long is Western nations, including the United States, we're handing over billions of dollars and billions of dollars and billions of dollars for the, for this effort. But on the bottom line in all of this is we're holding back from what it takes to win. If we really wanted Ukraine to win this, and I know there's political considerations in NATO and all of that, there is enough strength in NATO countries to win the battle, because Russian weapons are depleted right now. They're begging. North Korea is now going to supply some weapons to Russia because they depleted their stockpile right there. If Western nations really wanted to win this quickly for Ukraine, they could do it. That's the complication in this. So when Joe Biden talks about, and really what he's talking about, we got to send more billions of dollars to Ukraine. I think we have to come to the realization that billions and billions and billions of dollars more to Ukraine is still not going to win it. Because as long as Russia can get supplies, new supplies from North Korea, from Iran, from China, to keep going, this thing is not going to stop.
Well, and I'll say this, President Joe Biden has quite a nerve talking about trying to deter aggression when the fact of the matter is Russia invaded Ukraine while President Biden is in office. Russia invaded Georgia, not the state, and Crimea while Barack Obama was president.
Yes.
But invaded nowhere when Donald Trump was president.
Yes.
So my first comment on this speech of the president is, you want to talk about deterrence, we need someone strong in the White House to deter countries like Russia. But Ray, I'm going to tell you, this is a, the way that President Biden characterized this, you'd almost think that the future of the entire West was at stake. This is a foreign policy issue. I'm not discounting the need to protect Ukraine, but to Fred's point, if you're going to make that our foreign policy criteria, then why aren't we at war with China? Why aren't we sending U.S. troops to Europe? I think the reason is because everybody knows that's the start of World War III. So before President Biden throws around this demand that we, I don't know who we is, we all stop Russia's invasion, we don't want World War III. And I think that those kinds of comments, my personal opinion is those were irresponsible to make before a world body.
Well, look, I don't want to say anything favorable about Vladimir Putin, right? The guy's a thug. He's a killer. It's in his nature, right?
Right.
So I got nothing good to say about Putin and the Russian forces that invaded. I mean, they were in eastern Ukraine already, and they have tried to take more of it. They took Crimea. What has been accomplished? Here's the question, guys. What has been accomplished by the billions and billions and billions of dollars we have spent so far? It's hard to argue that much of anything worthwhile has been accomplished. We're clearly, as you said, Ed, we are not willing to put the full force of the U.S. military into stopping what Russia is doing in Ukraine. So we're guaranteeing that North Korea can send them weapons, China can send them weapons. We don't want to interdict that because we don't want World War III. I find myself, and look, I am Ukraine friendly. I've been there twice. Right. I appreciate the good Christian people of Ukraine, the folks. I mean, I've taught over there at a Bible school outside Kyiv, so that's where my sympathies naturally are. But I frankly, at this point, am just skeptical that pouring another $50 billion or $100 billion is going to change anything in the battlefront, in the stalemate that is currently the war in Ukraine.
And my personal opinion is this has always been a proxy war on behalf of the U.S. and NATO. And that is why, at least the reports I've read, is that early on when Ukraine and Russia were willing to talk, now this may not be true, but this is what I've read, the West behind the scenes said, no, don't do that yet. Mm-hmm. Because this was a proxy war in order to weaken Russia. And again, I'm with you, Ray. I'm no fan of Vladimir Putin.
Right.
And there are there have been atrocities that have been committed in Ukraine. But there was an old, I mentioned this before on the air months ago, there was an old saying during the existence of the Soviet Union when you had NATO facing off against the Warsaw Pact countries, and Germany was always in the front lines of where an invasion would start if the Soviet Union ever decided to invade Europe. And I remember reading this way back when I was at Boston College, that the West Germans would say, yeah, America is always willing to fight to the last German. And it seems to me like we're willing to fight to the last Ukrainian in order to weaken Russia.
Yeah.
And the two things can be true at the same time. Russia can be a bad guy, but our policy can be bad as well. And I don't think we have the interests of the Ukrainian people uppermost in our hearts and minds like President Joe Biden is implying.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on, Chris.
Well, from Joe Biden to Hunter Biden, I want to mention this. As we have covered on AFN.net and will continue to cover on AFN.net, Hunter Biden is suing the IRS over the recent testimony shared by two whistleblower employees. Hunter Biden's lawyers argued that the agents targeted the son of the president by sharing his personal information to Congress. This is the same Hunter who put personal information on his personal laptop. Hunter's lawyers also claim that whistleblower protections do not apply to the whistleblower employees. Republican Congressman James Comer, the head of the House Oversight Committee, says they do, and he said as much on the Ingram angle. I have the audio here. It is clip one.
The whistleblowers have protected whistleblower protection. Democrats in Congress used to care about that. They used to file bills and pass bills to protect whistleblowers and encourage whistleblowers to come forward. That's exactly what the two brave whistleblowers did who testified before my House Oversight Committee.
I do also have audio from an IRS whistleblower by the name of Joseph Ziegler. He says Biden's attorneys are using intimidation here. Clip two.
I think that the Biden family attorneys have given up on arguing the facts anymore and now have decided their best defense is to muzzle us and intimidate us. And it's not going to work. We won't be muzzled. And we're not going to distract from the mountains of evidence that are coming forward.
You know, Fred, this is this story just keeps getting more and more bizarre. Mm-hmm. The corruption appears to be. Now, everyone gets their day in court if they wind up there. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure any of the Bidens will ever wind up in court over some of these questions about corruption. And I do want to say, I want to be fair. I don't know if corruption, if the Biden family is corrupt. I think former President Trump calls them the Biden crime family. But we do need to find out. It's, I think, important that we find out that the American people know the truth. But this attempt to muzzle the whistleblowers when for 4 years the Democrats consistently used whistleblowers and leaks and tried cases out in public and made unfounded accusations against President Trump. All that was going on for the better part of 4 years and has continued since then. But now you have, which is becoming increasingly and clearly a weaponized Department of Justice and the IRS, now trying to keep the American public from finding out what's happening in Hunter Biden's life and the wider realm of his family members.
You know, if mainstream media wasn't in the pocket of the Democratic Party and wasn't in the pocket of the Biden family, this would be laughable. Hunter Biden's lawyers coming forward with a lawsuit saying they're... This is the purpose of the whistleblowers. They say, this is what we observed in the department
right.
where we work. These whistleblowers, if you go back to their testimony, I guess it's been about a month now, they were investigating Hunter Biden. This is what we found. This is what the obstacles that we faced within that department when we started to get really close. Remember, there were Justice Department people who tipped off Hunter Biden's lawyers about the fact that the IRS was coming to look at a container where they thought there were documents in there. So it is laughable. But this is, Hunter Biden is allowed to get away with this because he's part of the Biden family. I am very interested to hear what happens tomorrow because Attorney General Merrick Garland is appearing before Jim Jordan Justice Committee. In the House, Judiciary Committee in the House, to answer questions about the Justice Department's investigation of the Hunter Biden family. You know, why has it been going so slowly? The IRS investigation involving Hunter Biden has been going on for years.
Right.
And we just had an indictment last week. Mm-hmm. Why is it taking so long? Mark Levin. Was on Fox and Friends this morning. He just released a book today, The Democratic Party Hates America. He was asked about this appearance tomorrow by Attorney General Merrick Garland. Cut number three.
But the American people already know that this man is diabolical. They already know that he is the mob lawyer for the mob family, the Biden family. Every single indictment that's been brought against Donald Trump and anybody else related to January 6th has received his approval. Any deal that was cut with Hunter Biden and his lawyers a few months ago was made with his approval. He's violated the appointment of the special counsel process. He refused to protect Supreme Court justices when their Democrat Party militia was out there banging drums and yelling at them so some of their kids couldn't go to sleep. They're aggressively prosecuting now pro-lifers. You have two people over 70 years old, or three people yesterday, who were convicted in a Washington, D.C. Court of protesting at an abortion clinic under this diabolical FACE Act, and they sent them immediately to prison. Immediately to prison because they're a grave threat. We know about his memo involving parents.
And on it goes. That's the record of this attorney general.
He almost wound up on the Supreme Court.
Yes.
This clown.
And I think he probably hates the Republicans because of that.
Yeah. Ray, I got to tell you, if it wasn't for the whistleblowers, so much of this would be unknown. Hunter Biden would have gotten off on a sweetheart deal regarding his gun charge and drug charge. He would have gotten off and gotten immunity for any future prosecution. If it hadn't been for whistleblowers, we wouldn't know any of this stuff.
You know, I was looking at something Jonathan Turley wrote, and that's a name familiar, I think, to most of our listeners. He's a legal professor at George Washington University and writing on this very thing. He just wrote this yesterday. He said, months ago, I wrote about the move of the Biden legal team to adopt, and this is what got my attention, a scorched earth strategy attacking witnesses and critics. I mean, we've used the term weaponization, but scorched earth goes a step beyond that, that they are going to attack and destroy and discredit any potential witness against Hunter Biden. And Jonathan Turley goes on to say that includes suing the computer shop owner who gave the FBI the laptop and now includes a lawsuit against the IRS itself. I think this is a case of a Justice Department and a legal, at the very top of the Justice Department, a Justice Department that is completely disconnected from the normal American legal system that is now a menace to the American people. So these whistleblowers are being attacked. They're being pushed out. Anybody who dares to speak anything against Hunter Biden is going to be attacked by the Justice Department because they don't want the truth to come out.
And let me say, as we try to do when we talk about the Justice Department, folks, I have to believe, I hope and pray, but I have to believe that there are plenty of FBI agents on down the line in the field who know what's going on and they don't like it because their reputation is being sullied along with the people at the top. But when we talk about the deep state, we talk about the insertion in on the part of President Joe Biden, the insertion into key positions of not just partisan individuals, but people who are willing to do anything to protect the king, all right, including, as we've been talking about, weaponizing the Justice Department, going after whistleblowers when the law is clear, they're to be protected, all these kinds of things. I have to believe that there are a lot of well-meaning men and women in the Justice Department who don't like it any more than we do. So this is a manifestation of the power of the deep state, and those are the people, should the administration change hands, those are the people who should be investigated, and if they've broken the law, they should be put in prison.
You know, Mark Levin, in that clip we just played, mentioned pro-life people being thrown in prison. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of 70-year-olds mm-hmm. Who are now facing, what, 11 years?
11 years in prison.
11 yeah. years in prison for being on a sidewalk.
Right.
Yeah.
And what they're charged with, what they were charged with, is interfering with people trying to go in and have an abortion.
Which they say they didn't do.
Which they said, 11 years in prison. Stop and think about that, folks. Yep. That's just draconian.
And tens of thousands of dollars in fines as well.
And meanwhile, the Justice Department has done bupkis mm-hmm. when it comes to churches being burned
right.
and crisis pregnancy clinics being burned and attacked and otherwise vandalized. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard a peep.
Yeah.
We still don't know who leaked the Dobbs decision mm-hmm. from the Supreme Court. This is a Justice Department who at the top is totally corrupt, and there is nothing anyone can do about it except hold hearings in the House because Joe Biden is protecting his cronies just like they're protecting him and his family.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Not that there's any doubt as to what we believe about this. We are going to take a short break. We all need a breather. Folks, go get a donut. Go get a cup of coffee. Stretch your legs. Take the dog out. We're going to have to take a few minutes, a break for a few minutes. And when we come back, Sandy Rios will be on with us. You all know she's calm.
Yeah, she'll calm us down.
She'll calm us right down.
She'll calm us down.
Sandy Rios will be with us after the break. Please join us. Aisha had found herself in an unplanned pregnancy and wasn't sure what to do. She searched for pregnancy services and found a preborn network clinic where she was counseled, supported, and offered a free ultrasound. After seeing her baby and hearing the heartbeat, she cried. She was certain she would keep her baby forever. Aisha gave birth to a baby girl who is smart, beautiful, and full of life. Often, she visits that same clinic and receives free clothes, diapers, and more. Because of your generous support, Preborn writes 200 stories just like these every day. $28 can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection and doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers in crisis choose life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible, and 100% of your donation goes towards saving babies.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined by Fred Jackson, Chris Woodward, Dr. Ray Pritchard, and now, like the Lone Ranger who brings justice to the Wild West, Sandy Rios, Director of Governmental Affairs for AFA and host of Sandy Rios, the podcast on AFR.net. 24/7 podcast. Good morning to you, Sandy.
Good morning, Ed. That's quite the introduction. That's sweet, and it makes me laugh too.
Well,
so thank you.
And that was right off the top of my head. That was not planned. That's the kind of creativity that is going on, but moment by moment between these ears, right in here. So
I am impressed.
I understand that you're feeling a little bit under the weather. You wanted to our listeners to know that you're kind of losing your voice. So if you stop mid-sentence, we'll understand that it's the voice is gone, right?
Well, you know what's funny? I sounded like a sailor this morning, but I'm a little bit better now, so maybe
like
it won't be too
sailor.
Unsufferable.
That's totally random. I sounded like a sailor.
Well, see, I do radio too. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we come up with these things. I don't know.
It's the creative gene that we all on radio share, except Chris. Now, Chris doesn't have it.
Chris, I don't believe that.
Listen,
Chris and I just had dinner together a couple of nights.
Nice. Chris has his own fan club on our Facebook page that whenever Tim or I or someone pick on him a little bit, these fans go crazy. They are first to defend Chris and tell us to
shout out to those two brave souls.
All right. Well, Sandy, we want to start off with a discussion of one of your favorite people. Okay.
Oh, man. Let me think. This could be a long list or a short one.
Dr. Anthony Fauci. Mm. I know that you're a big fan. Fred, what is it we wanted to bring up and Sandy and get her take?
I just figured Sandy's been very concerned about the welfare of the former director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since he retired.
And which turns out is very lucrative position.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how he was going to survive on that pension, but
yeah.
We find out that now Dr. Fauci and wife have a net worth of $11 million. Hey, that government job really pays well.
Sure does.
You know, I read things like that. Why did I go into the federal government? is it salary, or perhaps he invested in stocks in, I don't know, pharmaceutical companies? I don't know.
So what about that, Sandy? How does that happen?
Well, let's see. As a DC veteran, I could tell you that most people in DC are doing the same thing. They may not have the same resources, but they are making money hand over fist. It's the highest paid corridor in the country, and it's courtesy of your tax dollars. And it's pretty disgusting and has been for a long time. And if you wonder why your senators and your congressmen don't do the right thing, often they have these little deals. They have sweet deals. And they make money. It's a completely corrupt system. That doesn't mean everyone's corrupt, but it is. But I want to say something else about Fauci. One thing I don't see listed here, and it doesn't mean it's you know, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Andrew Jeske is from Chicago. I know him, known him for years, and he does this study to bring truth to the resources and where the money goes and all of that. He does a great job. But what I don't see on here is that Fauci has, when I covered this, we were in the midst of the pandemic, had owned patents on these shots and also on the various portions. You know, they're now like patenting even things that people don't own. It's just like part of our bodies and part of our intricate scientific stuff that goes into this, not because someone invents it, but they can patent it and make a ton of money. He has a ton of patents. I'm guessing something like 15, if I recall, but that could be way off. But it's a lot. And so as he's foisting this virus on us and all of these incredible lies and destroying our economy and destroying the lives of people and insisting that the shot works, now we know people get COVID more that have the shot, and especially the booster. It was a lie, and people have died because of this. I can't quantify that, but we know that there are dangerous side effects. Lots of people, young people, myocarditis. He has blood on his hands. That's how I feel about him. And he can have 10 million or he can have 100 million. He has to come before God and judgment, and he will. Maybe not in our lifetime, but he will.
The man you mentioned, he's a CEO of Open the Books. Adam, what'd you say his last name was?
Andrew Jeske.
So this is what Open the Books does. It looks at this corrupt system, and I had never heard of Mr. Andrew Jeske.
No, he does great work. He's been around. I know he's not a big name, but he actually is well known in other circles, and his stuff is really reliable. So
because he says here, I'm looking at a story on Fox. It says, I'm going to quote, he was being interviewed by Fox News Digital. He said, during the pandemic years, the Faucis became deca millionaires with their household net worth exceeding $10 million. And he says that the Faucis were already worth $7.6 million in 2019. But in the intervening years, it went up almost to $2 million. So I don't know. Sandy, what can be done about a system that's that corrupt? Because it's not just Democrats. Republicans do this too. And we're speaking generally, not saying everyone is involved in this game, but Republicans and Democrats all seem to leave Washington, D.C. millionaires.
Yes, and I just was going to say, and the proof of what you're saying is that their bank accounts swell. And trust me, I mean, in this day's dollars, their salaries are not high enough to accumulate that kind of stuff. They're right. Just not. There's no explanation other than, and we know, those of you know, and I know because of my closeness to that whole world, that they are doing deals, contracts, defense contracts, sweet deals toward, you know, it's all kinds of stuff. It's payback, kickbacks. It's friends that you know who get advantages, you who get advantages, you know, and they hide things. They put them in different, and then they stand before us, especially in the Senate. That's what's going through my mind. I think of Republicans, they repulse me in this regard more than Democrats because they claim to be one thing and they are quite another. And I find that disgusting. The Democrats, we know who they are. Okay.
Right.
So when they stand up there and don't save this country, don't move, vote in ways, you know, present proposals that are destructive to this country, pour money on projects like they've done repeatedly over and over and over again so that we're $32 trillion in debt. This is disgusting, and this is where we are. It's just where we are.
Sandy, I know you've dealt with this on your programs and you've talked about it over the last couple of years. The sentences being received from those who took part in the event January 6th. And we're talking prison sentences now, 18, 22 years. There's an AP story this morning of a man from Virginia who wasn't even at the scene January 6th. He's facing an 18-year sentence basically for some of the things that he said prior to January 6th. I bring that up because there's a story we put on our website this morning of a suburban Seattle man who made 12 Molotov cocktails in 2020 to take to an anti-police protest in Seattle. I guess he was going to throw it at police cars, a police station, etc. He's just been sentenced to, and I say just, over 3 years, 40 months total. And so he was making bombs to throw at taxpayers' property. They know this. But people who talked about doing things or shoved doors open on January 6th are being sentenced to upwards of 20 years in prison. Is this ever going to be corrected?
Well, Fred, the answer to that, of course, is that I couldn't possibly know. I pray for justice here. I pray for these guys that I interview from jail. I just had a couple of Proud Boys that were going to join me last week, and actually before I went to D.C., and it fell through. But I know I keep in touch with them, and the sentences are just, they're debilitating. And I just know, maybe this isn't a comfort to some, but it is to me. It's the reason I can continue. It's because I know that our God will bring justice. And we may not see it. We may be like the people in Hebrews 11 who had faith, but they never saw the promise in this issue. But you can take it to the bank that there will be justice for these men and for the people that are perpetrating this. I would say this. There's another article in Epoch Times this morning by Joseph Hanneman talking about how, I haven't had a chance to read it completely, but three more criminal case defendants have joined a petition seeking to have the U.S. Supreme Court review the U.S. Department of Justice's novel use of an evidence tampering statute to prosecute those who protested the 2020 presidential election. And so there are people that are fighting back. Finally, it's might be making. I think if it goes into the Supreme Court, I do think that this will. I don't know, you guys, but I do think the sentiment in Washington. I better not say. Let me just say that I believe the sentiment in some places in Washington has changed. There's more awareness, and I'm just hoping that the Supreme Court will take these cases and we will be able to reverse some of this. That's we just have to. And I would just encourage people not to forget these guys. And also to warn people that the Justice Department is out there arresting more of you who just happen to be there on that day. They're doing this all the time, Fred. They've got a goal. It's like a business model. Like we'll have 1,000, I'm making this up, these numbers. We'll have 1,000 people, you know, in 6 months, 1,000 more people. This is their goal in writing. So, and this is, of course, a trial run. You can imagine what will happen to us in the future. American citizens, free American citizens who happen to be conservative, love the country, love the Constitution, we are already, but we will be more fair game to these dark forces that are in control of our country right now.
Well, and when you use the word debilitating, Sandy, this is why our founders gave us a system that is supposed to have checks and balances. This is why the news media is supposed to be nonpartisan, to be that watchdog for on both sides of the political aisle, because when the power of the federal government is turned loose in lawless ways, who can fight that? I mean, who can hire attorneys and pay for the attorneys that are necessary to defend yourself from the full weight and power of a corrupt Justice Department? There is no fighting back. You will be ruined. You'll be destroyed even if you win in court. And they know this on the left. They have weaponized it for a reason. This is political, not legal. Is that unfair?
No, not at all. And there were safeguards in the past in the Constitution against this, safeguards and freedoms that they're just railroading. You know, like the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure, and freedom of speech, and freedom of the press, and all of it. Our Bill of Rights is just being shredded, and that's the only reason this is happening. Because also ignoring states' rights, that the states have powers. The federal government should not have this power.
Right.
Right. The founders never envisioned. In fact, they were afraid of it. So they tried to reduce the power. It was supposed to be, I think, interstate commerce and self and national defense and right. a couple of other things, but nothing more. And now they're controlling everything centrally. And we know who those central players are. They're not good people. They're not good people. There's one other thing I wanted to say, but whenever you get ready, I mean, I'm not the host this morning.
Well, hey, listen, move on. What else you want to talk about?
Well, the thing that I want to bring people's attention is that there's a royal battle going on in Capitol Hill right now. And I know you guys have heard about this, but perhaps our listeners don't understand that we are coming up to September 30th, which means we have what's called, I'll try to make this simple, don't let your eyes glaze over, this is important. We have 12 appropriations bills. The government is so big, it's divided in 12 categories of funding, and each of those categories are humongous. And so the Congress every year is to go through this appropriations process and ferret out anything that needs to be out of there, what needs to be added. And so, as you know, the Biden administration and the people that work for him are just spending like, well, I'm going to go back to my first step, drunken sailors, which is not what I was
right.
this morning.
Right.
But they're spending $32 trillion in debt. We are now $32 trillion. So this little band of David's mighty men in the House of Representatives, the Freedom Caucus, and a handful of senators, too, I include them in the mighty men, are trying to stop this kind of spending. And they're actually drawing a line in the sand, and they're saying, and Kevin McCarthy has stabbed this country and conservatives in the back over and over and over again. We went through this fight to make him speaker. Remember, there were like 5 holdouts, and those few men were able to stop that because they knew that Kevin was a man of deceit, that he plays both sides. They know this. He talks a good game. You think, oh, I did even this time. I thought, oh, maybe he has changed. Well, guess what? We were wrong. And so he is trying to push through these humongous bills. Let's see if I can make this simple. He's trying to push through this enormous spending without giving hardly anything in return. Now, he would argue he's giving some things, but the Freedom Caucus is saying, no way, we have to fund border protection. We've got to get rid of wokeness in the military. It's killing us, the transgenderism and all of that. And there's like 3 more points they have tried to, you know, stand their ground on. So we are hurtling. Kevin McCarthy said yesterday he dared them to call for a vote. They have one of the agreements they had last year was that one congressman, well, this is part of the rules of the House, but in his particular case, it would just take one congressman to call for a vote on him being speaker. And so this is where the House Freedom Caucus is leaning. Matt Gaetz has mentioned this, so has Dan Bishop. And Speaker McCarthy said yesterday he dared them. He dared them. Got it really cocky, but I'm reading this morning that he better, you know, he's not where he thinks he is. So there's a looming government shutdown, and the conservatives, Freedom Caucus conservatives, are saying, we have to stop this. We've got to shut this spending down. And what Kevin would say back to them is, that's what he says publicly, that people can't do their investigations with all these important things that James Comer's doing and Jim Jordan. It would have to shut down. There'd be no funding. And that's just not true. It's a lie. So there's a royal fight going on. And I would just ask that people would pray for these brave men. They have nothing to gain from this. This is battering them like a battering ram. They have us supporting them, I hope. We have to pray for them. And we've got to make, you know, I would even say, I'd be prayers more powerful than phone calls, but we need to pray, reach out to our congressmen and say, don't, you know, follow the Freedom Caucus. Do what they're asking to do. So the Freedom Caucus has developed into this tip of the spear. They've just been amazing, you guys. They've developed so much reliable staff. They've got all kinds of people developing these spending bills. I mean, they've developed into a force, but they could easily be destroyed.
Yeah.
So we need to pray for them.
Several members of the Freedom Caucus had a panel discussion with Jody Heiss, former congressman, now at FRC, at the Pray Vote Stand Summit, and they talked about the spending issue there. It was Mary Miller, if I have her name correctly, from Illinois, Sandy.
Mary.
Chip Roy, and then Byron Donaldson.
Right. Well, Sandy, since you started talking about this, the national debt has actually increased to $33 trillion. No, actually, it had hit that a little while ago. But it's now, no joke, it is $33 trillion. I'm looking at the U.S. debt clock, usdebtclock.org.
Ed, can you see, isn't it gone up like, I'm just guessing, about $10 trillion since Biden took office? Can you detect that?
I think it was around $8 trillion. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
right, so
just eight.
The whole you talked about the corruption going on in the system, and the way politics is done is broken as well. I mean, there's no way we should have these omnibus spending bills because people are able to hide their agenda inside these massive bills that wind up being 2,000 pages where no one's going to read that. Members of Congress don't read it before they vote on it. In my opinion, these bills should be voted on singularly. So if you're going to have a highway bill, you vote on the highway bill, for interstates, and you should not be able to attach anything that's not connected to that. And then everyone has an up and down vote on those kind of things. But because Republicans as well as Democrats get pork inside the spending bills, nobody wants to change the way the system works.
Yeah, it's well said, Ed. And let me make it practical. If you're wondering why your grocery prices are outrageous, why your money has been deflated so much that it doesn't spend like it did, why your gasoline prices are high, why you're having trouble paying your rent, why the mortgage rates are going up, it's because your government is spending like a drunken sailor. It's a direct correlation. It does have an effect on you, and that's why you are suffering the way you're suffering right now. And that is why the Freedom Caucus is willing to lay it all on the line. And that's why if you could just drop to your knees right now, I'm serious, and pray for them, and pray that God, I know God is at work in D.C. Chris and I were just there. There's just, I know that because I have associations there. But God is at work, and we just need him to pour out his power and strength through these guys right now. So I would ask that people would do that.
Amen. Sandy, we're going to let you go. Do you have anything planned for this week that folks can tune in to listen to your podcast?
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad you asked me that, Ed. I've just gotten I got some of the best interviews in D.C. this week at the Pray Vote Stand Summit. This week, we aired a really, really in-depth interview with Tony Perkins yesterday because he and I go back a long way. So we talked about personal things that I think people would find interesting. Then Wednesday and Thursday, I interviewed, it's two parts, retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, who's a dear friend of mine. And his story is so gripping, you guys. It is so gripping. He was one of the commanders at Mogadishu when the helicopter went down. Mm-hmm. He was part of the failed rescue of the Iranian hostages. He has stories about being critically wounded, about watching his men die. I mean, this is what we talked about. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's in two parts, and I just recommend, because he's such a warrior. He's also a pastor, but he's a warrior. He's a living legend. And so I did two shows with him this week, one Wednesday. What is today? Yeah, tomorrow. And then the other one, we do three a week. It's Sandy Rios 24/7. And let me tell people, of course, you can go to AFR.net and find it. You can also find it on podcast networks anywhere. You can also go to my website, which is real simple. If you don't know the technical part, you can go to sandyrios.com, and that'll take you right there, too. So, sorry, thanks for that commercial time.
No, absolutely. We encourage people to check out Sandy's podcast. And Sandy, really seriously, thank you. For you're a tireless warrior for our country, for the kingdom, more importantly, and we appreciate it when you are able to spend some time with us here on Today's Issues.
Amen. I love being with you guys. I'm sorry, Ray, I didn't get to say a word to you. And Fred,
hi, Sandy. Great to hear your voice.
And by the way, I did ask some folks, if you're listening and say, why didn't you include Ray? I did ask if he had a question, and he said not
you
yet.
Guys are just doing so great, what? Sandy. So you rock
we didn't
house.
Exclude you. We didn't exclude Ray, at least not on purpose. So.
Well, I just wanted to do a shout-out because yeah, sure. You guys are good friends, and I do enjoy being time with you any chance I can.
All right. Thank you, Sandy. Have a blessed week.
Okay, you guys too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Chris.
I was just going to say, I always feel like such an underachiever when we have somebody on that's a legend, and then they talk about somebody that has a great story, and they were in all these places where bad things happened, and they were such a hero, and I'm like, I got a paper cut.
Well,
I type 100 words a minute.
Let me tell you, Chris, those of us who are heroes, we don't have to brag. All right? Those of us who have I'm just joking.
Yeah.
General Boykin really is a hero.
Oh, yeah. He
is. Oh, yeah.
And also spoke at the Pray Vote Stand Summit.
Yeah. All right, folks. We are going to – now, folks, wasn't that worth the listen? Sandy Rios is always chock full of information, passion for the glory of God, and she knows our country is in serious trouble, and Christians need to pray. We need to act. Hey, I like the summit, pray, vote, stand. Okay, it's a good way to put it. All right, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. And when we come back, Steve Jordahl is waiting in the wings. He's chomping at the bit and any other ideas I can throw in there. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.